Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Is anything too hard for God? That's really the question. Is anything too hard for God? And I would submit to you, no. If God can create us, there's nothing hard about it. But I want to talk to you this morning here about this topic. And that's this idea of, can good people go to heaven? A lot of people have this idea of, oh, you know, I'm good. I can do all the good I can. I'm set. I'm fine. I don't have to worry about having these issues because I don't sin a lot. I don't really do things that other people do. Many people have views on how they think they can go to heaven. And a lot of them think that if you're, like I said, if you're a genuinely good person, you can make it there. You could make it out to be a pharisaical point of view. I mean, if anybody had laid claim to being really good, it could be the Pharisees in the Bible, because they did all the good. They read their law. They had the phylacteries on their heads. They knew everything about what the law was all about, but they didn't have a relationship with the Lord. Also, some people believe, you know, you just go to church and just be there every week. You'll make it there. Just go to church. You'll be fine. Yeah, church is a great thing. I advocate that. Obviously, we're here this morning. But that's not the way to get you to heaven. Jesus says there's only one way to get to heaven. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to heaven. Today we're going to see an example of a common person who generally believes he's a good person. Like a lot of people out there today, they believe they're good, but something prevents them from acquiring heaven. Some people think they can buy heaven. I submit to you, you cannot buy anything. You can't buy heaven. There's no way. Not because of the fact it's already been paid for, but you just have to trust it and you have to accept it. Many people believe that their wealth and riches will bring them happiness and joy. But when it comes to heaven, it's not going to be able to buy a single thing. I remember a song as we were picking up children on a bus route when I was interning at West Florida Baptist Church about 13, 14 years ago. And the song basically goes, you can't get to heaven in a limousine. You can't get to heaven in a limousine. Why? Because God ain't got no gasoline. Okay? I mean, I can't. Can you get to heaven with gold? No, it's used to pave the streets of gold. Your gold is going to be nothing in heaven. Let's look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And let's come down to the verse 26. Mark chapter 10, verse 26. And they asked this question. The disciples said this, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? We're going to come back to this verse here to understand the context. But who can be saved? Can good people go to heaven? I submit to you that the only way to get to heaven is by trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. It's the only way. And we're going to see that through the text here this morning. Father, help us as we look into your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to grow and to learn thereby. Father, I pray that you just help me as I preach. Help it to be simple. Help it to be easy to be understood. And Father, I pray that you just help us to be able to listen with open ears, open heart. Help us to set aside anything that can distract us or be set in the way of us being able to hear your word this morning. For those who are viewing online, those who are here, that we'd be able to focus in wholly into your word, into what's been spoken here the next few minutes here, and that you just use me as your tool to be able to preach what needs to be said. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. So first of all, in verses 17 to 22, I want to submit to you, number one, the ruler, the young man, or the ruler's questions. This has been known as the rich young ruler, the young man, whatever it is, because it's in the other Gospels, in Mark chapter 19. No, Matthew chapter 19, Luke chapter 18. Kind of that you see the same story, some different wording there, but I chose Mark's account because there's some things I really want to highlight in this section here. Verse number 17, let's go back up there. Bible says this, and when he was gone forth into the way, Jesus, there came one running and kneeled to him. Now let's look at a few things here. As we get into this passage here, in the beginning of Mark chapter 10, Jesus is talking about divorce and talking about marriage. And then he's teaching about faith as a little child. And he talks about blessing the children. Verse 15 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter there." And that's going to be key. We're going to come back to that verse later on to summarize this and use another passage in the book of Matthew. But he's talking about heaven, and he's talking about having faith as a child, as a little child. So let's go to verse 17 here again. "When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him." So we see a few things. Number one, he runs. He seems to be anxious. He seems to be in a hurry. I don't know about you, but sometimes some people, when you talk to them about Jesus, they kind of get this, "Oh, you're going to talk about him again? You're going to do this? You're going to proselytize me and make me to be this religious fanatic?" But then there's some people who know that they need something. They want to hear it. And this is this guy. He wants to hear it. And he goes and he kneels. He asks for respect. He shows respect. He even says that even more so. And he asks him, verse 17, "Good master." He shows some respect. Master has the idea of an instructor or a teacher. But notice, he says, "Good master." He does not say Lord. He does not say Jesus. He does not say God. So he looks at Jesus as a teacher, as an instructor, not as the Son of God. And that's going to really play into a lot of how this is going to go in. And a lot of people view God as this good teacher, as this fine guy who just, you know, he knows some good stuff. But he's a creator of our being. And he's the one who sent his son down here to give his life for us. Let's continue, verse 17. "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, I want you to notice the two personal pronouns there, "I." He's looking at himself and he's saying, "What can I do? What can I do to get to heaven?" And a lot of people look at that and say the same thing today. Say, "What can I do to get to heaven?" Let's continue. 18. "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, that is God." He says, "Why are you calling me good? Only God is good." But let's continue on. He continues the answer. Verse 19. "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not." Defraud has the idea of to deprive. "Honor thy father and mother." So basically Jesus says, hey, don't do these things. Don't murder, don't cheat, don't do all this stuff, don't steal, don't lie, don't take things away from people. And notice his answer, verse 20. "And he answered and said unto him, Master, I've done all these. All these have I observed from my youth." You know, Jesus, I know you don't know me. Jesus didn't know who he was. But he's like, "I've done this since I was a little kid. I've done nothing wrong." We don't know what the age of this person is. I could assume maybe somewhere in the 20s or 30s. He could be older. He could be younger. Young can mean many things. You can be 70 and still be young. Be 80 and still be young. No, that's old. No, you're young. Old is being 939, 69 years old. You're not there yet. And you'll never make it there in this lifetime. So you're still young. Verse number 21. So he says, yeah, I've done all these things since I was a youth, when I was a child. But I want you to notice what Jesus, how his reaction is in verse number 21. "Then Jesus, beholding him," he takes a special interest in this young man's response. He looks at him. He's like, okay. But then I want you to notice the next phrase, "loved him." Did you know that Jesus cares for you? He already knew that this was the wrong answer, but he didn't say, "You're wrong. Get out of my face." Jesus didn't say that. He cared about him. And he cared about him so much that he then says this next statement to him. He says, "One thing thou lackest." Okay, you've done everything cool. Do this. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Now you're thinking, that isn't salvation. Follow along. He's asking him, okay, you've done all these things. Okay, sell everything. Get rid of it all. Take up my cross and follow me. Look at verse 22. And he was sad at that saying. What saying? Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. He was sad at that statement, folks. Why? I didn't finish the verse. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He had great wealth. Jesus still loves people even if they reject him. But here's the thing. People think they can do it on their own. This guy thought, oh yeah, I can get to heaven on my own. I'm a good person. Okay, yeah, sell everything you have. No, I don't want to do that. You know, people don't want to give up their old style, their old way of living. That's what a lot of people, that's one of probably the biggest roadblocks in people trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, is they don't want to give up the things that they've been doing. They think, oh, it's going to be too rigid, it's going to be too tough, it's going to be too tight. I can't handle this, there's no way. Let's continue on. Don't misunderstand. Wealthy people can make it to heaven, but they need not to trust in their riches to get them there. They need to trust Jesus. People look at their wealth and think, oh, this is all I have. This is all I'll ever need. You know you can't take that to heaven. Also understand, good people don't need to trust their goodness to get them there. They need to trust in God's goodness, the goodness of salvation. Hold your place in Mark chapter 10. I want you to come over now to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 9. What causes some people to turn away from the Lord? Well, here's some example. Here's some things right here. Verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. They go into temptation. They fall into this because of wanting more and more. Rich people want more riches. But it drowns them in their loss and their ruin and their destruction. Verse 10. This verse is misinterpreted so much. But let's read it in the context. People say, oh, money's the root of all evil. What word are they taking out in verse 10? Love. For the love of money is the root of all evil. How? Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. What are you saying, Pastor? They're trusting their riches to get there. They've gone into error. They've fallen away from the faith because they think that money can get them everything because of the love that they have for that money. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money as it's misinterpreted, mostly due to the covetous nature of wanting more money than others. They are led astray from the faith due to this covetous nature, and they cause sorrow to come upon them. Come back to Mark chapter 10, And we're going to get down to verse 23. But as you're turning back there, the young man wanted to trust his riches and wealth to earn heaven. But Jesus showed him how much he would need to give up to try and earn heaven. We cannot earn heaven. We can trust Jesus, and he gives it to us. You can't buy your way into heaven. Jesus will now respond accordingly to this situation. First of all, we see the ruler's question. Secondly and finally, we see the Savior's response in verses 23 to 31. Verse 23, Jesus explains this in more detail. Verse 23, and Jesus looked around about and saith to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now I want you to notice in verse 23, the word never is not in there. Jesus is not saying no rich person will ever get to heaven. It's just hardly. It's going to be difficult. Why? Because they are trusting in their wealth and in their riches to get them there. Or a good person who maybe is not wealthy, but they're trusting in doing just all the good that they can so that way they can get there. But let's continue on. Verse 24. And his disciples were astonished at his words. They're like, whoa, there's no way you just said that, Jesus. So trust me, they're going to be shocked again. Verse 24. But Jesus answering again saith unto them, children. Now, notice how he calls them children. He's trying to be affectionate and kind, but he also shows them, you have much to learn. There's much to learn about this concept. When you're a child, you do a lot of your learning as a child. Now, as an adult, you learn a lot of things, but a lot of your basic learning comes when you're a child. You learn how to walk as a child. You learn how to crawl as a child. Learn how to talk as a child, infant. All your basic basics that you get to when you become adults start in your childhood. And spiritually, we start as children. And they did not understand this concept. They were looking at this guy's wealth, and they said, hey, if this rich guy can't make it to heaven, how can we make it to heaven? But notice what Jesus is trying to communicate to them. He says, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Because they don't know it is free. Folks, salvation is free. You don't have to pay a penny. I mean, pennies not even much today. But you don't need a penny. You just have to trust him. How do I trust? Well, right now you're trusting that you're in a building, that the building didn't collapse on you, and the pew you're sitting on didn't break in front of you or below you. You're already trusting. Is that simple to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Follow me. Verse 25. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were amazed. They were struck about this. And they were like, there's no way. I mean, have you ever tried to put something big through a needle? A little difficult, isn't it? And Jesus is equating the fact that a rich man will not go to heaven because they're trusting in their riches. A good person cannot go to heaven because they're trusting in their good. The only way to get to heaven is by asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Why do we keep saying that? Because that's what the Bible says. And we're going to see how this and how this all plays out here. Verse 26, back to where we started. And they were astonished out of measure. They were amazed. They were super abundant and seeing. They were like, this like blew their water. This blew their mind. They're like, there ain't no way. If a rich man can't earn their way to heaven, what about us? Why do I say that? Well, continue. Verse 26. And they were astonished out of measure, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? If a good person can't trust their goodness to get to heaven, if a rich person can't trust their riches to buy them heaven, who can get saved? 28. This is a phrase that's extremely important to understand. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible. For us to make it to heaven, it's impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. This isn't the only time that this phrase is used in the scriptures. It's used back in Luke. It's used some other time in the New Testament. Were you just saying, is anything too hard for God? No. Because God created everything. If God could create you out of the dust of the ground. Now, have you picked up dust lately? A little dirty. Small dirt, right? Particles. If God can create you out of dust of the ground, you think he can find a way to make sure you get to heaven? And he does it so simply. You don't have to be the wealthiest person in the world. You don't have to be the best person in the world. You could be a flat out, wretched, horrible, wicked sinner doing the worst things you can do, and God can still forgive you. Come back tonight, we'll talk about that. It says God can do the impossible. Because by ourselves, we can't make it to heaven. Verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto them, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. God, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. What is that going to earn us? How did they follow Jesus? They followed him by faith. How do we follow Jesus? By faith. Now, can we still enjoy the things that are down here? Absolutely. Just the other day, I played golf. I enjoyed it. I even surprised myself by making a shot I thought I would never make. There are things to enjoy. But Jesus wants all of us. Wants 100% of us. Let's continue. Verse number 29. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's sake. What's Jesus saying here? He's like, there are people who've done it before you, and there are going to be other people after you who have forsaken all to follow me. Here's what's going to happen. When you follow me, when you trust me as your Savior, here's what's going to happen. Verse 30. But he shall receive 100 fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and the most important part, and in the world to come, eternal life. You trust in Jesus, what are you going to have? Eternal life. How do you trust Jesus? By faith. Asking him to forgive you of your sins, to save your soul, and to give you eternal life. Why can't people just go into heaven and earn their way into heaven? Sin. Sin separates us from heaven. God cannot allow sin into heaven. That's why he had to send Jesus down. Verse 31. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. The idea here is, oh yeah, the people who are wealthy, yeah, they get all their stuff now, but they're going to be last when it comes to eternity, because if they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're not going to get to heaven. And those who may not be fortunate now, they're going to be blessed up in eternity because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Prominence on earth does not mean prominence in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, that should be up behind me, yes it is, says this, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also? What's this verse trying to tell us here? Focus on heavenly things. Focus on laying up treasure up in heaven. No one can steal your focus on heaven or the treasures like on earth. You can have stuff here on earth, and someone can go inside your house and rob you. And then you have nothing. But they can't take away your eternal life. Why? Who has it secure? Jesus Christ. He can't take away your wealth in heaven. It's already there. How do we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? Well, you can't be good and get there. You can't trust in your riches and get there. How do you go to heaven? How can people go to heaven? Matthew 18 and verse number 6 says this. That's not that one. Verse 3. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 3 says this. And said, Jesus was asked the question by disciples, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto them, verse number 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. How do you get to heaven? Childlike faith. You have to understand you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, that's why there's a penalty for sin. That's why there is death. But God gave his son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, anyone, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave us a free gift. What do we need to do? Accept it. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It only takes one time. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Not through riches, not through being good, not through wealth. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In conclusion, good people don't go to heaven because of their good deeds or their wealth. They go to heaven because they've asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. We can look around, see, and be jealous of those who have wealth here on earth. Oh, look at this guy. He can have all this and this fancy car and these fancy houses and all this wealth. And why can't he share that with me? Set our affection on things above, not on things beneath, Colossians tells us. But they cannot take their wealth into heaven. We must have a heavenly focus as we serve the Lord. If you're not saved, then you need to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior before this means anything to you. Can't get to heaven unless if you're saved. Till you ask Jesus and you come to that place where you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, for I am sorry, to save my soul and to give me eternal life. It's all you have to do. Repent of your sins. Change your mind. Trust God. Trust Jesus to be your Savior. What about if I'm already saved? What if you're in this room, you've already asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? How does this message apply to me? Well, do you know of a good person? I'm sure you do. Are they saved? Have they asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior? If they don't, you have a mission. You have a goal. And what is that? To tell them. What did the disciples do? They told. Did they get mocked? Sure. Did they get rejected? Sure. Could we be rejected? Absolutely. Could we be made to look like a crazy person? Sure. But at least you are telling them the truth. You're not telling them a lie. You're not telling them that they have to do some crazy ritual. All they have to do is believe. And if they don't believe, then guess what? They have now rejected God. But you pray for them. That's how this message applies to those who are saved, who have asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, that they try to reach and tell those who haven't asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Because there are many people out in this world today who don't know who Jesus is, and they need to know. Because if not, before they die, it'll be too late. Two questions. Number one, are you saved? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? I'm sure the majority in this room can say that. But if you haven't and you want to know, I encourage you before you leave this morning, talk to myself, talk to my wife, talk to someone else. And we want you to know for sure. And number two, the invitation would be this, is maybe you know someone else who isn't saved. You take that time to pray for them, that you can be a witness and a tool to share with them how they can trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Father, I pray and thank you for the day you've given to us, Father. We thank you for the opportunity that we have here together. We thank you for those who are here. Father, there may be someone in this room who doesn't know who you are, who hasn't asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And Father, I plead with that person in this room or persons in this room that they would know for sure, that they would not leave these doors today without trying to find out if heaven is their home, that they have asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, and that they know for sure that they're going to heaven. They cannot trust their goodness. They cannot trust their riches. They can only trust Jesus, who can forgive our sins. Maybe there's someone in this room who says, Pastor, I know someone who isn't saved. I pray that you would help me to pray for them, that they would be open to the gospel. I'm sure that there's people in this room who can think of at least one or two or three people. I can think of at least five right now who I know who don't know Jesus, and that they need to be prayed for, that they would be able to accept and trust Jesus, to be shown the Lamb of glory. Father, I pray you just bless and move now in this invitation time. In Jesus' name.